Okay, so good evening all. Welcome back to Daf Week. I apologize for the hiatus, Sam. I was just telling Howie that we'll probably go on break for Daf Week after we finish Chagiga. Maybe we'll move on to other things, other topics, to see if we can get more people involved in other things. But we have a few final Dafim here that we will, God willing, finish sooner than later. So we are up to Daf Chaf Beis 22a, and we last left off really let me see. I believe we left off at the last word of the first line on Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. And since we haven't met in a number of weeks, so let's just review where we were at. Last time, we began the third parak, the third and final parak of Maseches Chagiga. And in Maseches Chagiga, well, sorry, and in the third parak, we basically begin with a Mishnah that tells us that there are 11 chumras, 11 times in which we are more machmir for Kodesh over Truma. And we spent a whole a series of back and forths trying to understand what is the nature of these chumras. We said essentially that there is one opinion that holds that there are really 10 chumras, not 11 chumras. And we said that the nature of all of this is a machlokas between Rava and Rabbi Eli. And if you remember, basically the machlokas was regarding what the meaning of the first Chumrah was. We said that for Kodesh purposes, one cannot be tovel one kli inside of another kli. And so according to Rabbi Eli, the reason why you can't do that is because we're concerned about chatzitza, that the first kli is gonna that's inside the other one is so heavy that it's gonna be weighed down. So when you put it in the water, it will serve as a chatzitza and not properly, the water won't properly touch both of the vessels. That's Rabbi Eli's explanation. But the problem with that is that according to Rabbi Eli, the fact that he says that is a little bit difficult because there is another case later on among the 11 cases that also gives the reason of chatzitza as being a potential issue, right? The notion of the fact that we have knots in like a netting or whatever, and so that you have to untie the knot for Kodesh because we're concerned about chatzitza. So according to Rabbi Eli, that there should be two chatzitza cases, the Gemara struggled with that. According to Rabbi, he says, no, it's not a chatzitza at all. The concern rather is we know that in order to connect two mikvahs, if we want to be able to allow the water to flow freely from one mikvah to the next, then we know that the hole needs to be a certain size. And specifically, how big does that hole need to be? Well, we said that it the last line that we had was b'shtei etzpos chozros l'mkoman, that the hole has to be a space that is basically measured with two fingers that could be able to rotate inside of it. So it's a nice sized little hole that has to be there between them. And so therefore, according to Rava, the concern was if you allow tefillah of one vessel inside of another vessel, then you're going to be concerned that maybe someone's going to go ahead and take a kli that has a very, very small hole at the top, smaller than this size. He's going to drop little kelim inside of that hole, and he's going to say, okay, listen, I can go ahead and be tovel this kli, and the water will go from this little hole, it will go into the little hole, and will even hit those little kelim inside. So even those will be considered immersed in the mikvah. But says Rava, no, that's a problem, because of this notion that you can only connect two mikvahs, you can only connect a body of water from one pool to another pool through a hole that's at least this size, that's the two fingers rotating. So if the kli is going to have a hole at top smaller than that size and kelim inside, that means any water that's going to go inside of that kli is going to be considered not officially mikvah water, and therefore it won't be able to be matire those kelim. So therefore, says Rabbi Eli, when it comes to Kodesh things, we are machmir and say that one cannot put one kli into another kli because of the concern that one is going to take a kli with a small opening on top and put inside of another kli in it, and then the water that goes in will not properly be metaheret. So that is essentially where we left off. Now, we continue this discussion extensively. We get a little continuing this sort of complex back and forth that the Gemara likes to do, but we'll take it slowly, and we will begin again the final word on the top of Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. So says the Gemara, Savar la kihad amar Rav Nachman, amar Rabba bar Avuha. So this shita of Rava, who says that the whole idea of being tovel one kli inside of another kli for Kodesh purposes is not allowed because we're concerned that someone's going to take a kli with a small hole on the top. So Rava, who says such a thing, he agrees with the opinion of Rav Nachman, who said something in the name of Rabbi Bar Abuha. What was this? That Achar Esrei Malos Shanu Kan, that they actually taught 11 chumras over here that are for Kodesh and not for Truma. That Sheish Rishonos, the first six apply, being the Kodesh, being the Chulin, Shenasu Al Taras HaKodesh, that the first six apply to both Kodesh and to Chulin, that were prepared according to the Taras standards of Kodesh, Achronos the Kodesh, and the last five only apply to Kodesh, Avalol Chulin, Shenasu Al Taras HaKodesh, but they don't apply to chulin that were prepared according to the tahara level of kodesh. So says the Gemara, this explanation of Rava's shita of Rava clearly holds that there are 11 different chumras. Why is it clear that he holds 11 different chumras? Because we have all of the 11 different cases, and the two cases that according to Rabbi Eli were both chatzitza cases. According to Rava, they're not both chatzitza cases. One is a chatzitza case, and one is the concern that the hole is too small at the top. So therefore, according to Rava, it has to be that there are 11 different chumras. According to Rabbi Eli, 10 different chumras. Now the Gemara says further, so what is essentially the difference between the shita of Rava and the shita of Rabbi Ila? Meaning they both essentially say at the end of the day that for kodesh purposes you can't be tovel one kli inside of another kli. Who cares what the reason is, whether it's chatzitza or whether it's the whole size at the top of the kli? So ikabeinu, so there is evidently a difference between them. That sal de gargusni shemilon kalim behit bilan, that when you have the case of a basket or you have some sort of a large strainer, some large kli, that one took that kli and put vessels in that kli, and you were tovelit. According to the Ashita, who says this is all about chatzitza, meaning Rabbi Ilah, who says that this whole idea is about chatzitza, then there is still going to be the same consideration of chatzitza over here. In fact, even more so. You have a bigger kli with a bigger kli inside of it, with a large hole. So of course you're going to have a chatzitza concern still. So according to Rabbi Ilah, those kelim will still be tummy. So the first chumra, the smishna that deals with a kli on top of another kli, applies to all kelim. But lemadam mishum gzera shema yatbil mechatin vitzinorios bechli she'in bifiv kishvo feres hanod. But according to the other sheets, according to Rav, who says that the whole chumra is not to put a kelim inside of other kelim for kodesh, is because of a concern that one might come to be tovel needles and spinning hooks, which we said those are small kelim. You might come to be tovel them within a vessel, within a kli, that the opening is not the size of this like two fingers and a whole size. So there's a concern that you might go ahead and do that. So salvet gargusni she'in b'fian kishvo feres hanod leika. But when it comes to being tovel something inside of a basket or a large strainer, where the opening is not is clearly not smaller than the size of two finger shear size, it's a large opening. A basket has a whole big opening, and a large strainer has a whole big opening. So therefore, according to this opinion of Rava, who says that this is what the whole first urinacy is about, it would seemingly permissible to be tovel one kli inside of another basket or a large strainer, even for kodesh purposes. But according to Rabbi Eloh, who says that the whole thing is about chatzitza, then even these larger kelim would still be prohibited to be tovel in these larger opening kelim. Okay, now says the Gemara, Azda Rava Letame. And so Rava, who says that the whole chumrah is based on the whole size at top, it says that essentially his opinion is consistent throughout. How do we know? Tama Rava, because Rava says, Salve gargusni shemilan kelim behitbilan tohorin, that if someone filled up a basket or a large strainer with kelim and threw them in the mikvah, then they are going to be tahor. Umikvah shechilko b'sal b'gargusni. And if one divided a mikvah with a basket or a large strainer material, hatovel sham lo also lo tzvila. Then if one puts himself in the mikvah, then he has not that tzvila that he does in the mikvah does not actually work for him. Why? Arakula chalchule mechalchla, because the entire ground is like a porous material. Ubeina diga arbaim sabim makum echad, and we say that that someone needs to be tovel in a 40 seah mikvah in one place. In other words, this mikvah that an individual took and divided the mikvah up with the material that has small, teeny tiny holes in it. Well, what's the problem? Because let's say you have a mikvah that has exactly 40 sa'a of water, or let's make it easier, a bigger, 50 sa'a of water, and you take this material that it's like an, just imagine like a strainer. Just imagine that there was like a strainer that went through, that was like, that served as the mechitza and divided up the mikveh in two. So if you divided it right down the middle, 25 sa'a on one side and 25 sa'a on the other side, and you have this large porous material that runs through the middle of it. So in such a situation, when you have a case like that, then since all the holes are so small and they're not that two finger in the hole shear, there's that sort of connection is not there between either of these now separated bodies of water. So that means that each body of water essentially is separate, and there's 125 sa'a body of water and another 25 sa'a body of water, and there's no connection whatsoever. So according to Rava, so now he's going to say that the person who is tovel in either one of these bodies of water that was divided from a larger body is not going to be considered kosher for tefillah. Then their whole reason why is because he holds of this two finger hole size thing, and so they're not connected. And so therefore, that we see from this from this teaching over here that Rava is consistent, that he holds in our case that there's a concern of the small hole size, and there's a concern over here as well with the person being tovel of the small hole size shear. Now says the Gemara further, these words, so these words apply only where the large, the outer vessel is going to be a tahor vessel. Why? So in other words, the whole chumrah essentially that we're saying only applies when we say you can't be tovel one kli inside of another kli is only when the outer kli is tahor. Aval b'chli tamei, but when the larger outer kli is tamei, and therefore you need to be tovel it, migo desalka tvila lechule gufei demana. So since the tvila has to be effective for the entire body of the outer vessel, including the inside of the vessel, salka lehu and nami lekelim deispe. So it's also going to be effective for the that are inside of it. In other words, so we've been saying thus far that when you're tovel one kli inside of another kli, that it's not going to be a kosher tvila. So that only applies when the outer kli is tahor. So that means the outer kli does not need a tahara. It doesn't need to be tovel in the mikvah. But if the outer kli is tamei, and therefore the outside of the kli needs to hit the water, and the inside of the kli needs to hit the water, then if the kli has a very small top to it, even smaller than a two-finger shear size, for example, then the water has to get in there somehow, and that water has to be metayer the kli itself, and so therefore, even if the hole at the top is small, since it needs to be metayer the walls on the inside, if there happens to be other kelim there, then that tevila has to work for those as well. So essentially, therefore, all you need to know is that the prohibition of doing one kli inside of another kli is only when the outer kli is tahor. But if it's tamei and it needs tefillah itself, then it's going to be kosher. Ditnan, because we have a Mishnah. Kelim shemilan kelim beit bilan. That if kelim were filled with other kelim and they were put into the mikvah, hare ilu tahor, and then they become tahor v'im lo tavah. But if he didn't put immerse this outer kli, mayim hama uravim, then the water in the outer kli that is going to be mixed with the water of the mikvah, it can't purify what is inside the outer vessel. Achi huma uravim kishvoferes hanot, unless they are mingled through a size that is a hole larger than the shear that we've been discussing. So says the Gemara, what? Read the words again. Kelim shemilam kelim itbilan. If you have one set of kli's inside of another set of kelim, hare ilu tahor, and then they're going to be tahor. V'im lo taval, but if he didn't immerse the outer vessel, mayim hama oravim, then the water in the outer vessel that is mixed with the water of the mikvah can't purify what is in the vessel. What? You just said you were tovel with them. What do you mean? What do you mean if you didn't immerse the outer vessel? So says the Gemara explaining, my kamar v'im lo taval. What does it mean that he didn't immerse it? Hachi kamar, this is what it means. V'im eino tzarech lehatbilo, if he doesn't need to immerse the outer kli because it's tahor already, umayim hama oravim, and he wants the way it's going to work, the inner kelim need to hit the water from the mikvah, and what's going to happen? The outer vessel is going to get the water first. Water that's going to touch the outer vessel is going to get into the inner vessels, but since it touched the outer vessel first and sort of collected inside of the outer vessel, that means that's non-mikvah water. Only the water from the mikvah that immediately touched the inner vessels directly is going to be considered mikvah water. So therefore, so that's what it means, this mixed water. So again, so hachi kamar, this is what the Mishnah is saying. If he doesn't need to immerse this outer kli because it's tahor, umayim hama oravin, and he wants that
that for the tefillah to be effective for these inner kelim, that the water and the water needs to be able to mix together with the mikvah water. Then the waters are not going to be considered connected unless the waters are connected through a larger size of this shear, this two finger shear. So essentially, therefore, at the end of the day, you need to be able to have a kli that that has a larger opening than this two finger size kli. Fine. Fine. So all that we've said thus far, again, just going back, is that we have this machlokas Rava and Rabbi Yula regarding what this whole chumra is about. So now the Gemara says this dispute between these two Amarayim, between Rava and Rabbi Yula, is consistent with another dispute that we have between two Tanaim, Tetania, because we have a brisa, salve, gargusni, shemilan, kelemit, bilan, that if one fills up a basket or a large strainer with kalim and then put this whole pile in the mikvah, bay in the kodesh, bay in the truma, tahorin, then whether it's for kodesh or for truma, then they're going to be considered tahor. Abba Shalomer, Litruma. Abba Shalom says, no, they're tahor for truma. Abba Lola kodesh, but they're not tahor for kodesh. So far, all we see right now is that, how does this dispute match up? So according to the opinion of this is the Tanakhama, right? Yeah. So according to the opinion of the Tanakhama, the reason why according to the opinion of the Tanakhama, the reason why both of them are considered tahar is because they're all holding like Rava, because there's a large opening, so there should be no issues of one set of kelim inside of another set of kelim. But according to Abba Shaul, who says that it's only tahar for truma and not tahar for kodesh, so Abba Shaul sounds a lot like Rabbi Ila, who says that this is all about chatzitza, and it shouldn't make a difference whether or not you have big kelim or small kelim. Okay, so says the Gemara further now. If it is so that there is a real concern about being tovel kelim within other kelim, so truma nami. So then shouldn't we have this concern for truma as well, right? So let's take another step back. So we've been saying this whole time that there is a concern when you're tovel one set of kelim and inside of another set of kelim. So who cares if you have something that's tameh? So if you're toveling it for truma or you're toveling it for kodesh, why is this only a chumra for kodesh? It should be a chumra for truma as well, because you need the tefillah to be effective for the truma. So why doesn't such a chumra, why isn't it necessary for the truma as well? So says the Gemara Leman Kamrin. So essentially we're asking now, according to who are you saying that we're saying that this halacha that the kelim can't be immersed within the other kelim for truma? So basically, okay. So now the Gemara is going to have to deal with this fact, this question. What does it mean that the chumra should only be for kodesh and not for truma? So it says the Gemara, Liman Kamrin, and who are we proposing such a ruling that the vessels shouldn't be inside of the other vessels for truma chaveirim? It must mean that you're trying to say this is regarding chaveirim, but chaveirim meida yadi. Chaveirim are very knowledgeable about the laws of tefillah, so you don't need to make a special rule for them. In other words, you're saying that you're concerned about you want to have an extra chumra for truma as well, the same chumra that you have for kodesh, but you're talking, this whole halacha is taught to chaveirim, and chaveirim, we know that they could be trustworthy in the laws of tuma and tahara for kodesh, of truma. So why are we, so we don't need to go ahead and teach them this chumra as a concern that they might violate something, because they know what they're doing, and they'll figure it out the right way. Ihachi says, Gemara, what? If we're talking only about chaveirim, so kodesh nami, then you shouldn't have a chumra for kodesh either, right? Who cares if they're being tovel something for kodesh or they're being tovel something for truma? Tevila is tevila, and if they're chaveirim and they know what they're doing, so then you shouldn't have need a chumra regardless, because they know the halachos in each case. Says the Gemara, no, there's a reason why we're still machmir for kodesh over truma, because chazile ama aretz v'azil makbil. In the case of kodesh, we're concerned that the ama aretz, who doesn't know the laws of tumah tahara in and out, he may see this chavir go ahead and be that he is being tovel kalim within kalim for a kodesh purpose, and the ama aretz may go and do the same exact thing, right? So in other words, the ama aretz won't pick up on why it is permissible for the chaver to be doing it, and the ama aretz will just say, okay, I guess I can just do such a thing. And so therefore, we say even the chaver can't do it. He has a chumrah for the kodesh because the ama aretz might go ahead and see him do this. So truma nami chazi le ama aretz v'azil matfil, right? Why aren't we concerned that regarding truma, that the ama aretz is going to see the chaver as well, that the chaver is going to be tovel something like this in this way, and then the ama aretz will be tovel it in the same way? Why aren't we concerned? Says the Gemara, very simple. Lo mekab linan minayu, because we don't take truma from ama haaretz. We take kodesh from ama haaretz, but we don't take truma from ama haaretz. So we have to be careful how an ama aretz is going to be tovel kodesh, but we don't have to be careful about how an ama aretz is tovel truma, because we're not going to accept it from them. So I beat the Gemara to the punchline, but the Gemara says kodesh nami lo nekabel minayu. So why are we taking kodesh from an ama aretz? Because habile eva, because there's a concern that there may be some sort of eva from there might be some eva, some sort of like ill will that's going to build up from these ama aretz. Meaning, when it comes to truma, we don't need. Well, sorry, let's keep reading. So truma nami habile eva. So why isn't there any ill will between us, between the chaverim and the ama aretz, when it comes to truma? Because says the Gemara, no. Well, ichpastai. It doesn't make a difference to the amaratzim that we don't accept their truma. Why? Because the azil yahiv lila koin amaratz chavre. Because very simple, the amaratzim who are the Yisraelim also have amaratzim kohanim friends, and so they'll go ahead and give the truma of the amaratz will be given to the koin amaratz. No problem whatsoever. But when it comes to kodesh is always only going to be capable of being given to a Kohen who is a Chaver. And therefore, so because of this concern of Kodesh, we're extra strict with how we're Tovel Kodesh things, because we know that we have to accept the Kodesh of the Ama Aretz, and we need to make sure that he's not going to slip up in any way possible. We need to protect how he is being Tovel things. Okay, says the Gemara further, Uman Tana D'chayish Leva. Who is this Tana of our Mishnah who says that we're very concerned about all this ill will taking place? Rabbi Yossi says, Gemara, it's from a Mishnah authored by the name by Rabbi Yossi, who is concerned about ill will. The Tanya, because it was done on a bright summer, Rabbi Yossi says, "Bibnei maha kol ne'eman and al taharas yayin v'shem and kol yimos hashana." Why are we believed regarding the tahara? Sorry, why are all people believed regarding the tahara of wine and oil for karbanos throughout the year? Meaning, why is any Jew, even an ama aretz, why are all these individuals who bring wine and oil for a karban, why are they all believed to say that this wine and oil that they're bringing is tahor regardless of the time of year? Meaning, of course, it's if it's around the holiday season, so we know they're only going to get tahor stuff because you can only find tahor wine and oil for sale on the market. But how do we know? How can we trust them that they're going to be providing tahor wine and oil during the off season? Because we don't want to create a situation where every person will go ahead and be so offended by the fact that we're not going to trust their wine and oil. They're going to go ahead and build their own mizbechos. They're going to build their own bamas, and they're going to bring their own altars. They're going to go ahead and burn their own para adumos for themselves. Meaning, says Rabbi Yossi, we have to have some leniencies in some of the cases, particularly when they pertain to amaratzim, because if we're not lenient a little bit, then there's going to be terrible sinning that's going to take place as a result of it. So us being a little lenient over here is going to allow the amaratzim to bring their wine and oil, and they won't be offended. And then that means even on our holy mizbechot, they'll be able to bring karbanos. Fine. So says the Gemara now further. Amar of Papa Rav Papa says, "Kiman mekabelinan ha'ina sahadusa me'amaretz." So who is the one who holds that we're able to accept like a testimony nowadays from an Amaretz. Come on, and according to who? Rabbi Yossi. Ah, this is the same idea of Rabbi Yossi. We're able to accept the testimony of an Amaretz because of the reasoning of Rabbi Yossi, who says that there is this notion of ill will. We never want to build up an ill will between us and the Amaretzim. So he says we can accept their testimonies as well. Fine. With that, the Gemara is going to now go back to this topic of being Tovel Kelim within other Kelim. So the Gemara says, "Benechosh lish'ela." Why aren't we concerned about the possibility of a chaver? Maybe he'll go ahead and borrow the kli that an Ama Aretz uses for his truma. Meaning, so fine. So it's one thing to say that I'll accept the Kodesh foods. I'll accept the Kodesh foods from the Amaretz, but I won't accept the Truma foods. But fine, but maybe of course I'm going to be able to use the Kalim of the Amaretz, and maybe he'll, because if someone says that he keeps kosher, so we trust him, he keeps kosher. And so if that's the case, maybe I'll go ahead and borrow the Kalim of the Chaver. I'm not going to eat his Truma food, but maybe I'll go ahead and borrow his Kalim. So why aren't we concerned that I may go ahead and borrow the Kalim of an Amaretz, and we don't have that chumrah regarding truma of being tovel one kli inside of another kli. So they might see us and they might violate this. And then if we go back and borrow their kelim for truma, then it's bad news for the Jews, bad news for the chaverim. So did not, because we have a Mishnah, that kli cheres matzil al hakol, that when you have a kli cheres, like an earthenware kli, so it protects anything from becoming tamei. Divrei Beis Hillel, that's according to Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai, remember Beis Shammai say, Eino matzil ela al ochalim ve'al hamashkim ve'al klei cheres, that it protects only foods, drinks, and other kli cheres, other earthenware vessels from becoming tamei, but it won't protect a non-earthenware vessel like a metal kli or things like that. It won't prevent that from becoming tamei. Amru lehem Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel say to Beis Shammai, Ma, why are you making this distinction between the foods and the liquids and the earthenware vessels to the other non-earthenware vessels? Amar Beishamai say, Bibneshu Tame al Gabe Amaritz, because the earthenware vessel that you would have that would be protecting the non-earthenware vessel from Tuma is Tame. You have to consider it to be Tame because of the Amaritz. If it ain't Kli Tame Chotzeitz, and whenever you have a Kli that is Tame, it will not be able to serve as a Chatzitza between something that is Tame and something that is Tohar. So in other words, the reason why Shammai Amar Machmir is they're concerned that this kli cheres of an amaretz is always going to be considered tamei. So Amru lehem Beis Hillel Beis Hillel say to Beis Shammai, v'lo tihartem ochalen umashkin shebesocho, but haven't you said that the foods and the drinks that are within this earthenware kli that those things are tahor? So how could they be tahor when the kli itself is tamei? Amru lehem Beis Shammai say back to them, kishetiharnu ochalen umashkin shebesocho, when we said that the foods and the drinks that are within this kli cheres are tahor, and we are now on Amud Beis. Le'atzmo tiharnu. It was only for the Ama Aretz himself that we said that they're tahor. About an entire esakli, but are we going to declare tahor the non earthenware kli that's protected by this kli cheres shetarasu lechava lo, whose tahara would then be relevant to both you and to me? In other words, to both the chaver and the amaretz. Meaning, so essentially, they just kind of uprooted their whole semi leniency. They basically say that a kli cheres, that the food inside of the kli cheres is going to be tar, not for us, for the chaverim, but for the amaretzim, it's going to be okay. But for other things, for other kelim that I might need to use, I might need to borrow from the amaretz. So since I might need to use that, so I can't say that if he puts that in a kli cheres that everything's going to be okay, that I'm going to assume that it's tahor, because I'm going to have to assume that it's tameh, because I might, the chaver, might need to use it, so there's a concern that it is tameh. So that's the general concern. So then the Gemara is going to go into a long brisa, and it's going to use this long brisa to set up the following question. So let's see what the Gemara says now. Tanya, so start on a brisa. Amar Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yeshua says, bo shni, he says that I'm like embarrassed of your words, Beis Shammai. Efshar isha lasha ba'areva. So is it going to be possible that a woman who's like on the upper floor of a house, that she's going to be kneading dough inside of a trough, that Isha va'areva tamein shiva, and the woman and trough are going to be tamei for 7 days, uvatseik tahor, but the dough itself remains tahor, right? So think about this for a second. You're going to have a woman who is kneading dough inside of a trough, and the woman and the trough, they could be tamei, right? The woman could be tamei and the trough could be tamei, but the food, the dough inside is going to be tahor. That's ridiculous, right? And that was based Shammai's rule, that the food's going to be tahor, but other things may not be tahor. So Logan, Malay, Mashkin, and moreover, is it really possible that you're going to have a case of like a flask full of beverages that's on this upper floor of the house? Logan, tummy, tumas, shiva. The flask is going to be tummy with a tumma of 7 days. Oh, mashkin tahor, but the drinks are going to be tahor. This is ridiculous. So then, nitba lo tamid echad mitamid de Beishamai. So one student among the students of Beishamai, he fought back on behalf of Beishamai, and he said to Rabbi Yeshua, listen, Amarlo, he says to him, Omer lecha taman shel Beis Shammai. He says, let me explain to you the reasoning of Beis Shammai. Amar lo emor. So Rabbi Yeshua says, go ahead, speak, because it's ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense. Amar lo, he says to him, kli tamei chotzeitz o eino chotzeitz. When you have a kli that is tamei, does it create a chatzitza between something that is tamei and something that is tahor, or is it not able to serve as a chatzitza? Amar lo eino chotzeitz. Whenever you have a tamei kli cheres, so that cannot serve as a chatzitza. So kli shal am haaretz tamei otar. So then says this student of Beis Shammai to Rabbi Yeshua, so therefore the kli of an am haaretz is going to be considered tamei or tahor. Amar lo tamei. Says we always assume that it's tamei. V'imata omer lo tamei. And now says the student of Beis Shammai, if you were going to tell the Am Haaretz that it is tamei, that the kli is tamei, klum mashkiach alecha, would he pay any attention to you? Of course he's not going to pay any attention to you. He's going to say you're ridiculous. What do you mean that my kli is tamei? Unbelievable. Below, not only that, ela she'im atal mer lo tamei, if you were to tell him that the kli is tamei, Omer lecha, he would say to you, shali tor v'shalchat tamei, that mine is tahor and yours is tamei, meaning he's saying that Beis Shammai had a psychological shita over here, because they're concerned that if we go ahead and go around and sell the Amaratzim that they're Keilim Artame, then they're going to turn around and say, no, our Keilim Artame, they're going to be the Machamirim over here. B'zehu Taman Shel Beis Shammai, and this is the reasoning of Beis Shammai. So because we have to be concerned that we don't want to offend them too much, that's where Beis Shammai's opinion comes from. Miyad Halach Rabbi Yeshua, so immediately Rabbi Yeshua goes, B'neshtatach Al Kivrei Beis Shammai, and he bows down to the grave of Beis Shammai. Amar na nisi lachem atzmos Beis Shammai, and he says, screams out, I haven't been right to you. I've spoken out against you too much, you bones of Beis Shammai. Umas tumos shalachem kach. If you are these rulings that you had that seem to be illogical, but really they're just cryptic, but they really are very logical. Before Roshos alachas kama v'kama, then how much more so are the ones whose their reasoning is readily explained? In other words, Beis Shammai evidently have some dinim that is a little hard to understand, but if you dig a little deeper, you can understand them, right? This is the notion that we believe in, that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, that there are many statements that are made, that the teachings of Beis Shammai, the reason why we don't accept them is because we're not on the level to be able to understand and accept them. But the truth is, in the Yemos HaMashiach, we likely will be accepting the opinions of Beis Shammai, because more often than not, they make more sense when you dig down deeper and more logically. So essentially, Rabbi Yeshua is saying at the grave over here that you have two types of shittos, those that make sense logically and those that don't make sense so logically, at least to the untrained mind. So he says, if you have shittos that do make sense to the trained mind, and you have you have shittos that only make sense once you dig a little deeper, so he says, wow, so how much more so if you have these nonsensible shittos that don't make so much sense, but even they could be explained, so much more so are the ones whose reasoning is easily explained, how great are those, are they? Amru, they said, Kol Yamav Hushcharu Shinav Nedei Tani Osav. Rabbi Yeshua was so distraught over the fact that he was going around disagreeing with Beis Shammai that all Rabbi Yeshua's, the rest of the days of his life, his teeth were black. Where were they black from? Because he was fasting over and over again so many times in order to have some sort of atonement for how he spoke out against Beis Shammai. So now, with this that the Gemara just went over, now the Gemara is going to go ahead and ask a big question. Says the Gemara, Katani mihas lechavelo. The Mishnah says at the end of the day that Beis Shammai said to Beis Hillel that the tahara of the Am Haaretz that the tahara of the amaretz is non-earthen, where kli it pertains to both you and to the chaver. Ama sha'alina minayu. So we see at the end of the day that the chaver can go ahead and borrow kelim from him. So if the chaver is going to go ahead and borrow a kli from the Am Haaretz, so then why would the Mishnah ever allow us to use a kli that's tovel inside of another kli, even for truma? Because we may go ahead and use those kelim for truma, and if they were not tovel properly, then that could be an issue. So therefore, says the Gemara, ki shaylina an minayu, when we borrow kelim from these Am Haaretzim, we go ahead and are told by the kelim. So in other words, the concern is you want to say maybe that they might still be tamei. So if we ever borrow kelim from an amaretz, we always tovel them to make sure, extra sure that they are tamei. If this is so, that we're going to be tovel this kelim, so nihadru lehu beis hillel beis shammai. So let beis hillel say back to beis shammai, ki shalina minaya, when we borrow a kelim from them, matbelina lehu, that we tovel their vessel. So in other words, beis hillel say, you know, no need to have your chumrah of saying that those kelim, the non cheres kelim, are going to be tamei inside, because we're told of them anyway. So why doesn't Beis Hillel say that back to Beis Shammai? So tamei meis by hazah shlishi lushvi, because that which became tamei through like tumas meis, through a dead body, so that would require like the whole process of sprinkling on the third and the seventh day of the tahara process. Umana l'shiva yome lo moshle inshe, and people usually when they're borrowing a vessel, the person who's lending the vessel is not going to be lending the vessel for 7 days, and therefore at the end of the day, even though we are tovel their kelim, if the kli was tamei meis, you're still in the woods because of the fact that you need to be able to borrow it for 7 days and not even use it until the eighth. So therefore, that's what the Gemara says. That vila lo mehemne. So, and is it really true that the Amay Aretz, that they're not going to be believed regarding regarding being tovel? That Tanya. But what we have a brayson that Nemanin Amay Haaretz al Taharas Tevilas Tamei Meis, that Amay Aretz are believed regarding the tahara that a person would do because of Tumas Meis. So we should trust them for that type of thing. And we just said we don't trust them, but there's a price that says we do trust them. Amar Abaye Abaye says low kasha. No, there's no difficulty. Ha begufo, ha bekilav. The price that says that an amaretz is believed regarding tvila for tumas meitz is regarding the tahara of his personal body. If he says I went to the mikvah because I became tumas meitz and now I went to the mikvah, so I'm tar, we believe him. But ha bekilav, but regarding the gemara that says that we don't trust the amaretz to be tovel something for tumas meitz, that's regarding his kelim. We don't trust that he's going to go ahead and do that. So a little bit more, and then with a few more lines, and then we'll stop. Says the Gemara, Rava, Amar Rava says, Idi v'chelav. So this brisa and the statement of the Gemara that we made above both refer to believing the Amar Aretz regarding his kelim. Below kasha, but still there's no contradiction between them. The had Amar me olam lo hitbalti kli besochli, because the brisa that says that an Amar Aretz is believed is referring to where he says that I never was told will a kli within another kli. The had Amar hitbalti avalo hitbalti bechli she'in b'fiv kishvul feres anod. Whereas this statement of the Gemara that says that the Amaretz is not believed regarding his Tvilas Kalim is when he says, I have been tovel one kli inside of another kli, but I have never been tovel one kli inside of another kli, where the top of the outer kli, where the opening was a very small size. But we have a brisa that was taught, then Neman Amaretz Lomar Peros Lohukshiru. And Amaretz is believed to say that these fruits have not become machshir, they have not become prepared, susceptible for Tumah. But he is not believed to say that peros hukshru avalonitnu, that we don't believe him when he says that they were machshir l'tuma, but that they didn't become tummy. So the Gemara then says further, about gufu mi meheman. Is he really going to be believed regarding the tahara of his own body? So fine. So that case of the Gemara ends. But now going back to what we just said a second ago, is he really going to be believed regarding the tahara of his own body? That's tiny. But we have a brisa. Chaver shabala hazos, that if a chaver comes to have us, sprinkle on him the waters of the paraduma, mazin alav miad, we sprinkle them upon him immediately. Ama aretz Shabala Hazos, but if an Am Aretz comes to have us a sprinkle upon him the water of the Parah Aduma, we don't do that unless we see that he does in our presence the sprinkling of the third and the seventh days. So we say if the Am Aretz is not believed to say that he is fit to receive the sprinkling of the third day or the seventh day, then why is he ever believed to say that he was tovel himself properly? Says the Gemara, El Amar Abai, rather Abai says, Mitoch Chomer Shechmarta Alav Vizchila, so because of the severity with which you were strict with him at the beginning, by not believing him regarding the sprinkling on the third day or the seventh day, Hekalta Alav Vizofu, then we are a little bit more makel with him at the end, right? So in other words, if we're so strict with him at the beginning, we say that he has to be with us for days three and seven for the sprinkling, and then at the end of the day, we're towards the end of that tahara process when he's tovel in a mikvah. So in that case, we are able to believe him. So with that, we are at the two dots, and God willing, I'm not here next week, but God willing, the week after, we'll pick up from the bottom over here in Chaf Beis Amud Beis. Wish everyone a beautiful night.